News Podcast. Join Jay the Man and the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only Rags, discussing today's news, conspiracy news, and news you won't hear anywhere else. Only on the Disclosure Media Network. Don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube by going to youtube.disclosuremedia.net.
Well, hello and good evening to those of you listening on our live streams from YouTube, Ustream, and of course on TuneIn. And all of you that download our podcast on iTunes and Podomatic. Also, you can find us on SoundCloud and we're on Spreaker. This is the Nightly News Podcast. I'm Jason. And also along for the ride is Rags.
What up?
What's up, dude? Hey, folks, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel by going to youtube.disclosuremedia.net. Anyway, tonight it is Wednesday, April 15th, 2015. So, Rags, how's your evening going tonight? A lot of news topics out there going on. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine, Jay. Just enjoying a nice, beautiful day in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, it was a kind of a gloomy, cloudy day here. It was raining to the south of us, so we just got the clouds of it. But it's just been. But and you know, bad news I got for myself, Rags. You know, I'm heading out of town this coming weekend, and
yes,
horrible news. Right now,
yes,
the area that I'm going to vacation in is under a winter storm warning. It goes into effect later this evening, and they're looking to get 1 to 3 feet of snow.
Yep.
Yeah.
I heard that, but you will get our sunshine later because it's going to be sunny here for the next 5 days, so that should clear up for you. By Sunday, it should be nice and sunny there.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, I'm not too concerned.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw some parts 5 feet of snow.
Well, you know, I hadn't really looked into where I was staying at as far as elevation, and you know, as we got closer to vacation time, I started looking at the temperatures where I was coming in at landing. You know, I'm landing in Denver, and the temperatures are, you know, mild. And then I look to where we're actually staying, which is about an hour west, and it's 5,000 feet higher than Denver. So,
you're going because, you know, Denver's at the base of the Rockies,
right,
so to speak.
I didn't know that.
You're going up the Rockies.
Screw the Mile High City. I'm going to the 2 Mile High City. I didn't know that, man. So I got to looking at the temperature spread, and I'm like, wow, why is the temperature spread so much? Because it's only an hour difference. 70 miles is the difference.
Yeah, and you're going straight uphill, my friend.
And I looked at the, you know, the Wikipedia of the town, and yeah, it's at almost 10,000 feet. And I'm like, shit.
Well, like I tell most East Coasters, you know, I mean, yeah, all you on the East Coast, you don't know what mountains are until you get to the West. We have mountains out here. We mean mountains. They're mountains.
Yeah, I can't wait. You know, I got to see the Rockies. I got to see the Rockies from an airplane when I flew to Vegas. That's the closest I got to the Rockies.
Oh, well, you're going to see them firsthand. I mean,
I can't wait. I can't
definitely
wait.
You're going to see them firsthand.
All right. Well, let's get to some news. The thing that's been on the news all day today since it happened, a Florida man lands a gyrocopter on the Capitol lawn. Yeah. And he was hoping to send a message with him landing. I know, sure, Rags, you've seen this. It was all over the news. And
you know, I heard about it, just didn't see it.
Doug Hughes, he loves to fly. And as a kid, he plant himself at the local airport and monitored the comings and goings of planes. He read up on the Wright brothers and Kitty Hawk. On Wednesday, Hughes, a 61-year-old mailman from a small town in Florida's Gulf Coast who dearly wants campaign finance reform, flew his fragile little ultralight gyrocopter through some of the most closely protected airspace on the planet and landed it on the White House, not the White House, landed on the West Lawn of the U.S. Capitol. He called it Project Kitty Hawk. He announced his plans on the internet and his hometown newspaper. He said he felt compelled to do what he could to halt corruption in the nation's capital. He attached a big U.S. Postal Service insignia to the aircraft fuselage, loaded it onto a trailer last Friday, and drove north. He would not go postal, but rather airborne to deliver 535 letters to members of Congress, urging them to tighten the rules on money in political campaigns. Quote, I have no intentions of hurting anyone, Hughes wrote on his website, Democracy Club, which carries the motto, because we the people own Congress. Quote, there is no way I can prevent overreaction by the authorities, but I have given them as much information and advance warning as my fuel supply allows. The warning didn't help. Air defense systems didn't even detect the copter rags as it entered restricted airspace. So this, I know this is going to have to, this is going to cause all kinds of issues because there was even before he landed on the Capitol rags, you know, he flew by the White House. There's actual CBS, one of those, you know, the mainstream media, you know, they always got a camera looking over the White, you know, the Capitol or whatever. And he flew right behind the White House, right behind the big old Lincoln, not the Lincoln Monument, but shit, the big penis thing.
The Washington Monument.
The penis thing. What is that thing called?
The Washington Monument.
Is that what that thing's called?
Yeah, it's called the Washington Monument.
I need to go back to history. But anyway, yeah, so he flew right by there, and they didn't detect it. And that's pretty – do you find that odd that they did not detect that, Rags?
No, because it is – that's quite small. Usually what they're looking for heat signature, electronic signature, and that – I saw a picture of it, and, God, I mean that thing's small.
They said it sounds like a lawnmower and looks like a flying bridge chair.
It looks like somebody in a recliner going across the sky. Yeah, I know that's not surprising whatsoever.
Well, the Air Force,
especially if you're less than 200 feet, if you're like less than 500 feet off the ground, the radar's not going to catch you.
Isn't this bad for? I don't know. Does it open us up for? Now they're really going to maybe crack down on stuff because, you know, NORAD said they're going to investigate why they were not made aware of the gyrocopter until it had landed on the Capitol grounds. And from what I understand, this guy has been in contact with the Secret Service for over a year. You know, they contacted him when I guess someone snitched him out, basically, and, you know, they told him what his plan was. So, they contacted him, and he said, yeah, you know, this is what I'm going to do. And, you know, he said eventually they contacted him a few times, but eventually they just, you know, they never came back. Nothing was said. And, you know, here we are today. And then now they're like, oh, we don't know anything about it.
Well, you know, when it comes to them Secret Service they like hookers and blow, and they like to party and ram things into the White House. So, as we know over the last month and a year, I'm pretty sure there'll be some more Secret Service people fired after this event. They can deny it all they want. Obviously, they acknowledge they went and visited him. Now, as far as NORAD, if you have something less than,
so then these small drones are undetectable.
Absolutely. Why do you think we're so effective with them? Don't need real planes. Absolutely. For the most part. Now, you remember, we've got some.
So that's how you get your nuclear
bomb. We've got
bomb
a lot
in.
Of our now our bigger drones
that's
that carry
threat.
Heavier
that's a
payload.
Huge threat. That's a huge
we have
threat.
Bigger,
right?
There's bigger, the heavier the payload, and, you know, so there is some synchronicities that need to be looked at. It's all about payload. It's all about electronics. It's all about how much you can fit onto that plane. So.
But doesn't this open up the, this just opens up another?
Oh, I say so. Absolutely, I say so. Yeah. I mean, think about it. If this guy
can easily fly his little gyrocopter in, someone
right
could
past
easily
the White House?
Yeah, by it. I mean, this someone could easily do the same and land on the top of the White House. Granted, they probably wouldn't have much time, but if they had a bomb strapped to their copter or whatever, or a nuclear
suicide
device
bomber.
or biological device, I mean, I thought they'd had some type of how would you even detect a small little drone? Is there any type of technology you could use?
You know, and I'm sure now that they will implement. I guess I'm surprised that they haven't already, but the technology is there for them.
How do you distinguish between a bird and a small drone?
By sound, by impulse, by they have. There's all sorts of detections you can have.
Okay.
That's like when you have sonar operators and radio operators. They know the sound of a seal. They know the sound of a whale.
Right.
They know the sound. So they know the different sounds that machines make, not what mammals or birds or things of the sky make. So, no, it's pretty simple. I'm just surprised that this wasn't already deployed inside the Capitol already. But I guarantee you now it will be.
Yeah, definitely something's going to happen. And, you know, it landed
probably
on...
anti-aircraft missiles will be staged upon Bank of America or the library. But,
you know,
or...
I thought we already had some at the White House. I thought we already had anti-aircraft. I mean, I thought there was a rumor that the White House had them on top of the building.
Well, yeah, I saw White House down, you know.
Well, no, it wasn't in that movie. I'm talking in real life. The Secret Service denies it. But, I mean, they say they have surfaced the... air missiles.
They say they do, and I wouldn't doubt that they do. I will guarantee you they probably do, but most of the time I think you just see the sniper guys on top.
Oh, yeah, those guys are there, but, I mean, yeah. Those guys ain't taking down a plane. Or...
No, I'm sure, but I bet you they do have the capability to have at least some type of surface-to-air missile.
They'd probably pop out of a bush on the ground or something, you know. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Me! Blow you out of the sky. Well, I don't know. I think the guy's, you know, he's definitely got, he succeeded in what he wanted to do. He got the attention.
He definitely delivered his political motivation.
And he works for the government. That's even more ironic, isn't it? A federal employee lands on the Capitol. What's illegal about that? Oh, man. What do you think they're going to throw the book at this guy?
Do
you think they're making an example of him? I mean, he's 65 years old.
I don't think they will. I think that they'll take away his toy. I'm not sure exactly what they do.
He's probably like on the doorstep of retirement, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there'll be a penalty and something. So, I mean, he didn't make any threat to anybody. So
no, but they're saying, you know, they'll make up some concoction that he could have.
Oh, I'm sure they may, but at 65 years old,
they even brought the bomb squad was there. You know, they had the whole robot and everything. You know, we got to put this on TV and make it look serious.
But isn't that so funny? Is that aren't you a little bit too little, too late? I mean, if he already flew to the White House,
right?
Somebody didn't do that.
If he wanted
job.
To do something, I'm sure he would have done it.
Yeah, he would have done it already.
Jeez. Anyway, let's move on to something else, Rags. I just don't know. They're probably going to throw the book at this guy. But at least he got some attention. Maybe we'll get some reform.
Yeah, you never know.
So what you got?
Well, let's see here. This one has been making the news the last couple days. A Statue of Liberty-sized asteroid on collision course to Earth.
Uh-oh.
Yes, this is. I got this from express.co.uk, the Sunday Express. Asteroid 2012 TC4 is set to whiz dangerously close to our planet for the second time after the space rock narrowly missed Earth in October 2012. Astronomers estimate that 2012 TC4 could be as large as 40 meters wide, just under the height of New York's famous Statue of Liberty, from her feet to the tip of the torch. This is twice the size of the meteor that exploded over Russian city of Chelyabinsk in February 2013, which injured 1,500 people and damaged more than 7,000 buildings. Wow, so I thought that one over there in Russia, Jay, was actually bigger, but this would actually be bigger.
That's not good.
That's interesting. Wow, that's really interesting. The impact of the larger TC-24 asteroid, predicted to be near Earth on October 12, 2017, could be even more devastating.
2017. All right. 2017.
So we got some time, peeps. We got some times.
Got time for dim sex.
Got time to party. Got time to get jiggy with it. And worryingly, experts cannot yet predict where in the world it will strike.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Dr. Judith Gardev-Rees, astronomer at the University of Texas McDonnell Observatory, told space blog astrowatch.net that we could see an airburst, maybe broken windows, depending where it hits. The giant asteroid on the Hawaiian Observatory and later almost 9. So I thought kind of doom, you know.
Hello?
But can you hear me there? I'm still speaking.
Yeah, you're cutting in horribly bad there. I don't know if it's me or you, man. I don't know. It's really...
Not sure. How come every time we play the recording, I can never hear that? It looks like I'm coming in clear.
Well, it's definitely definitely apparent on the recording this time, so...
Oh, okay.
That's cool. I don't know what it is. I'm actually, you know, like I said, I'm still on the Wi-Fi connection, so that could be.
Oh, you're still on the Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
so.
I'm waiting tomorrow. He'll be here tomorrow, so I had to put
gotcha.
It off. I couldn't do it today. I had other shit to do, but.
So there you go. I just can't believe that this is actually bigger than that one that exploded over Russia. That's kind of weird.
That is weird.
Because that one in Russia was huge.
It was. It was a pretty. They even found some of it.
Yeah, but I mean the way it just blew up, like it did. I mean, it looked like a friggin' the biggest bomb that it's ever gone off on the Earth.
If it would have been a little bit lower, it'd have done a lot more damage.
Oh, I know.
That thing was a big. I don't know how many nuclear bombs it was like, but it was quite a few.
Yeah, so this one's bigger. So hey, if it comes close, who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to bring this story out here. I think I got. Let's see, not that one. No, not that one. No, not that one. Let's do the little. You know, the. HS, the Department of Homeland Security, they've ordered 12.6 million rounds, rags, of .223 AR-15 ammo for, quote, training. So what do you think about that, rags? You think that's an indication of them preparing for something? U.S. Customs and Border Protective?
Well,
offers,
the request, you know?
I mean, that's a lot, isn't it? 12 million? And this was posted on
you know,
the 13th.
I don't know. I don't know if it's. I don't know what an average number is. I don't know what, like, say maybe a brigade or let's say even a infantry, maybe a small, you know, 12 men. I don't know what kind of practice rounds that those guys may go through.
Says,
I mean, think about it. You know, I mean,
purpose.
You got a semiotic map, and you're letting it go.
No, you're right. People, I don't think people understand that. But the purpose of this solicitation is to achieve price savings over the current 223. Rim duty ammunition. The government reserves the right to cancel this solicitation in its entirety if it feels the price savings cannot be reasonably achieved. So they want to save some money. So it says the requirement would result in an indefinite delivery quality contract against which individual delivery orders would be placed. Estimated quantity is approximately 12.6 million rounds training ammunition. This is per year. 12.6 million per year, totaling 62.5 million over the life of the contract. Wow. That's a lot of ammunition, Ryx.
Well, I bet you if we went to some good military boards or some off-the-grid boards, you know, you can get
like,
some of those guys.
Nothing.
They'd up obviously, you know
I
what,
blow
we
off
should,
a million rounds
I
in show, no time.
I do 10,000 a weekend, man. What you talking about? You know, so.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's really hard to really kind of see.
But the conspiracy world loves it.
Because it's just a number, and
yeah.
It's a large number. But in reality, nobody sits there and thinks, hello, McFly. I shot off 1,000 rounds in a weekend. How tough is that?
Yeah.
By myself, you know?
No, you're
hello?
Right. You're right. I don't know. Well, let's just keep on trucking to our half-hour break here. What you got up?
Oh, keep going? No break?
Yeah, we're just going to keep on going.
Next up, more doom and gloom.
Uh-oh.
This is from the DailyMail.com. Will a volcanic eruption destroy humanity?
Uh-oh.
Scientists think that the world must begin to prepare for an explosive global catastrophe.
You know, that could happen anytime. It really could.
You know, I know. It's like, you know, the sun could burp, Yellowstone goes super nuclear. All the plates fold in on themselves. I mean,
do we have to be reminded though?
Yeah, but this is kind of interesting because this mainstream news, the Daily Mail,
yeah,
and scientists at the European Science Foundation estimate that there is a 5-10% probability of a large explosive volcanic eruption by the end of this century. So, Jay, you're younger than I am, so you'll probably live to
I could.
The end
my
century,
generation's supposedly going to live to
100,
at least.
Might be able to see that that massive.
I don't think we're going to make it to the end of the century, but that's my opinion.
Now, get this. What's kind of interesting about this is that the experts have called upon world leaders to spend at least $2 billion a year to monitor volcanic activity and increase their ability to respond.
What are you going to do? It's a volcano.
Oh, my God. That's why I thought it was interesting. I thought that was kind of – that's why I kind of want to read it, because that's why I was looking over it.
I don't think an underground bunker is going to help you if a volcano goes off. I guess it could.
Yeah. Well, we saw what happened at Pompeii. I mean, people were actually just covered.
That's
in lava.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. I mean,
I killed a squirrel today. I ran a squirrel over.
Oh man.
I'm sorry. Squirrel. I don't know. You said Pompeii, and then death was in my head, and then I thought about the squirrel. Poor guy.
Yeah, well, shit happens, I guess.
Yeah, I know. Anyway. But, yeah.
Of course, we would think that if friggin' all of a sudden some large thing landed on our planet and squashed on us, right?
Hold on, this website's talking to me. Okay.
I mean, do we ever think about that? I mean, think about when we accidentally step on an ant or we,
I'm conscious about that stuff.
What happens if somebody was to stomp on us?
Right, that's how I look at it.
No, it's like, holy
I only
shit.
Kill bugs or if it's a threat. You know, if I feel it's going to bite me or, you know, I'll get it out of the house, a bee, whatever. I'm not really afraid of bees. They usually don't attack unless you attack them, you know, unless they feel threatened. So, I don't know. I try to treat all animals and whatever with how I'd want to be treated, I guess, you know.
Yeah, on that link, Jay, I gave you the areas. Obviously, Yellowstone is one of the large. Tambora in Southeast Asia, and then the other one in New Zealand. So there's actually three super volcanoes in the world.
Wow, three.
And if you look down the map,
is that the map down there where it's got the big circles, three?
Yeah, yep. So it looks like, and I can't, I'm trying to get a better, there we go. If you click on it, it goes larger.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, I just clicked on it and went larger on my screen.
Nice.
Absolutely,
yeah,
it did.
There it is.
So, yeah, Yellowstone, and then we've got
Tambora. Well, if you look at the U.S., we don't have too much. We just got Yellowstone, really, right?
Well, yeah, well,
goes.
That's big enough for the continent, Jay, or at least North America.
Is this map in perspective, real perspective of how big the continents are? We know we had the discussion about
maps. But, I mean, but look at the big volcanoes. I mean, we have one, Southeast Asia, Tambora, and then you have the Tupou.
Those two over on the right there are pretty much lined up there. As not lined up, but you know what I mean as far as...
Well, because you go back, because you know the other one there is Crater Lake down there. And I've visited Crater Lake many years. It's just right north of Klamath Falls where I used to live.
So we've got two in the United States.
Yeah, at one time Crater Lake was actually a massive volcano.
Like big?
Yes, that's why the dot's there, right next to Yellowstone.
Now what's it look like now?
It's a big it's a big lake in the middle of the crater, and there's a resort down there and all sorts of stuff.
Doesn't that water leak down into the volcano and isn't that how it's volcano erupts? Or I mean, is that? I don't know. I guess not. I don't know.
Well, you drive up to it. It's massive. So I mean, it's like you're going up a whole mountain and then come down inside the crater, but it's been millions of years now, something like that, and. It's all foresty inside. I mean, you'd have to get up on a certain ridge to actually see, and then you could look down into Crater Lake. You see the crater in the middle of the lake.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
So, yeah, so look at that. You've got your nice map there of all your volcanoes and most of your big ones around the world. Southeast Asia, look at that. Between Southeast Asia and Australia all the way down to New Zealand.
Yeah, those guys
are screwed. Holy crap, man. But if you look, they're all, of course, along the what? The Rim of Fire. Rim of Fire. So that's all I got for there. All
right. Well, let's move on to the story here. We got, 5 minutes? Let's talk about this one. You know, we talked about this last night off the air rags, but the video of an officer ramming an armed man is stern, intense reaction.
Yeah.
Remember that video we watched last night?
Well, remember you're gonna play it, right? So people,
I'm gonna try.
Like you said, it was, you know, part. Then there's a second part.
Yeah,
that was
just
crisp,
give me
man.
A second here. I'm trying to load it up.
Probably should have had it ready, right? Yeah, you would think. Let's see.
Yeah, and you know,
well, explain a little bit, Rags, why I try to get this set up. Explain to what you've seen on that video. I mean,
I don't know, was it in Arizona, Jay? I believe it was in Arizona.
Yes, I think so.
It was in a town in Arizona. A man was robbing people and was stealing of some type of.
Boy, I know he stole a gun from Walmart.
Yeah. He stole a gun, and he had the gun, and he's walking down the road away from police, but then he fires off a shot into the air, and there is a couple cruisers behind him, and one guy's they're standing behind him, and they're getting on the radio, and you can hear the one police officer in this, and you hear the others on the radio. Some of it's funny, it's not funny, but it's amazing to see when you see one cruiser come up, well, then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes another cruiser and right. takes him out. Like, it was NASCAR at Martinsville.
Okay, never mind. Arizona Pavilion.
All right, one round just went out into the sky. It's definitely unlocked now. It's definitely loaded. Have units, be prepared.
Or is the subject shooting, or did you shoot?
Negative, did not shoot. Unit right there, just stand there off. Stand off. The gun is loaded. Unit on Quintero Park, stay off.
Damn.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus Christ, man down.
Man down. Man down.
Man down.
Wow,
oh.
Man.
So, folks, if you get a chance, that video is all over. Jeez. The other cruiser of the trooper, the officer.
Yeah, there's that video too, man. You can actually just watch it.
Yeah, it's two videos in one. You get the one perspective from the office, the officer telling him, back off! Hey, stay behind! And the next thing you know, Trooper Joe comes up like NASCAR. Boom!
Well, he... A car is deadly force, so I guess, you know, it's either use your gun or use your car, right?
It's kind of interesting when you see the video from the first dash cam, then when you see it from the second dash cam.
I didn't even know about the second. Rags was sitting there, and he's like, oh, shit! And I'm like, what, Rags? He's like, fast forward, and there's the dash. Man, yeah, it was pretty intense, man. I couldn't imagine. I could
so,
not.
So, more police brutality. I think that was the march yesterday, right? Wednesday, they all marched.
Yeah,
no, today
probably.
Is Wednesday, or I forget what day it was. The police brutality march was on Tuesday or Monday. Something.
Yeah,
like
Tuesday or Monday, I can't remember. All right, folks, hey, we're at the bottom of the hour here, and we got our 5-minute Fox News radio break coming up. Don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.disclosuremedia.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. So do that, and we'll be back here in just a short few minutes, and we'll get back to some more news. So be back here in just a few minutes, folks.
We'll be right back with the Nightly News Podcast with Jason and Rags.
Well, the truth is, I'm not really sure what happened.
I like this song. Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. I love that stuff.
Right on.
All right, folks. We're back here from our little break there, and now we're moving right on with our second half of the show. Who went last? Was it me? You?
Yeah. Let's see. I think I'm up next.
Okay, go for it.
Well, Jay, the next article here I have is, actually it's from the good old folks at the Christian Science Monitor. And, you know, it's really what it is. It's, well, you know what? Whatever happened to that big bad problem that this country has that we all used to really talk about? You know what? How about that it's our still constant and growing deficit?
What's that?
The deficit, remember?
What's that?
Oh,
deficit?
We must be taking the jolly pills. The economy is great. Jobs are aplenty. We owe any money.
What money?
What money? We don't owe trillions of dollars.
Huh?
Good article here by Peter Greer, staff writer for the Christian Science Monitor. Whatever happened to that big bad deficit, he writes? You know, the one with the red ink menace that, you know, is supposed to devour America's financial future. We ask because the way Congress is acting, the deficit must be have gone into hiding. It's no longer there. No. Look how eager lawmakers were there to whoop in through the Doc Fix and the Bill in Avert. And the big bill averting the permanently planned reductions in Medicare and reimbursements for physicians. Remember?
Oh yeah.
When they're also when that came down to the Homeland Security part of it, where they were going to try to shut down the immigration issue. It passed the Senate. The other one with the Medicare reimbursements for physicians. Well, that passed the Senate today by a 92 to 8 vote.
What the heck?
Having went through the House the month before. 392 to 37.
Wow.
Why is it that all this spending that they talked about, right? Well, this news is so popular, it's obviously election. It resolves the position which has been a problem for years. Yet the Doc Fix is expensive and only about 1/3 of its costs is offset by budgets. It'll add some $141 billion to the deficit
just
over the next 10 years.
Put it on that credit card.
Put it on that credit card.
United States of America.
And not that it's the only up in spending in the works. Add in the likely increases of the military and domestic spending, and the deficit could go up to $100 billion in the next year alone. That would be about a 21% increase in spending in what they'd done. Okay? So, hey, you know, I mean, it's not who cares about that deficit, right, Jay? It's like this. It says, why change the fiscal weather? Reason one being that it's, you know, the term they wanted. The administration says that their medium term deficit reduction was a success. I don't know. How do you have a medium term deficit reduction when you have trillions, when you owe something? I still have not understood that. The Great Recession beginning in 2008 caused a huge increase in the U.S. red ink, which we all know. Which had people struggle with lower – which the governments across the country struggled with lower taxes.
Yeah, just how much the government brought in. They brought in over $1 trillion in taxes.
Just in taxes alone. Their revenues are up.
So they need
to
spend.
But expenses are still going out.
Our budget needs to be no more than what we bring in.
Right? You would think, right?
Ooh.
But don't you think some of that should go to pay the deficit? No, we've got to spend it.
Can we even – you know, I hate to say it, but can we even pay it back? Is it possible? I know you could, but what would you have to sacrifice?
Raise interest rates?
Rein in the money?
That would be taboo. People would all of a sudden, that would stunt growth. So that way we can start to pay back on that debt. That's one way. But will that crater in the economy?
Hmm.
Is our economy that fragile? But it is interesting that so far, you know, we've had Rubio, Hillary Clinton, we've got
Rand Paul,
we've got Cruz.
That's
I forget who else. Did Walker declare or not? That's what I meant to ask last night. Walker has declared it.
No.
So, you know, we've got some people throwing their hat in the race.
That'll be news once he declares.
Yeah. But, you know, so all these guys are running, but you know what? None of them are talking about the deficit.
They don't
want
to talk about the D.
Oh, well, they don't. I mean, but you know what? It's still the number one.
It's the big D in the house.
It's still the number one on voters' minds, which is it's really interesting. Here's the thing.
Because voters, that debt is our debt.
Yeah, and voters do think the budget deficit is important, but that rating is slipping. Get this. This is what it said. I don't know how they get these polls. They said the percentage of respondents that used to respond.
I've never been called for a poll. I'm sorry, but I've never ever been called for a poll.
Yeah, I've never been called for a poll either.
Bullshit. Poll posters, you better call me. All right, go ahead.
No, but so they said that the polls have dropped 8%. That's what they're saying in the last year. So there's still, so it's dropped 8%. So they figure you don't have to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Says so, other economic issues rank higher, including the state of the economy in general, jobs, and Social Security. Everybody wants to worry about their Social Security. It's pretty important.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of people. But it's interesting. Like I said, I've been waiting and listening. Nobody's talking about it. But, you know, it's still there. Well, some 18 trillion whatever.
You're talking about our debt. Well, I got the next story here. Japan is surpassing China as the largest holder of that U.S. debt.
Yeah,
Japan surpassed China in February as the largest foreign holder of U.S. treasuries for the first time since 08, according to Treasury International Capital data released on Wednesday. A rising dollar, along with fatter yields in the treasury market compared to an effective zero-rate policy in Japan, lured Japanese investors to the treasury market. Japanese holding of treasuries fell by $14.2 billion to $1.224 trillion since January, while China's holding declined by $15.4 billion to $1.223 trillion. So between the two companies, there's what, $2.5 trillion right there? That's crazy rags. That's insane.
Eating more of our debt. And what gets me is that Japan is already the one of the most in debt countries in the world.
Yeah.
You know, they still, people don't know how they can understand it. They still have not even overcome the deficits of the 1987 crash.
How do they hold more of our debt than China? I don't get it.
But they must have bought bonds. But they're also flooded with our dollars. Huge amount of U.S. dollars they're flooded with. So that's why when you see everything compared in the world, if you notice when they do the Forex markets, you're going to see two things, right? You're going to see the USA Euro, USA, and the USA Japan. You're going to see those two currencies. They don't really – you'll see maybe the yuan, which is China, and you occasionally see the British pound. Actually, you'll see the British pound more than anything. But when they talk about currencies, it's always the U.S., British, the euro, and always Japan.
Look at Belgium. They've got $1.24 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
And the third biggest holder of U.S. treasuries was a group of countries.
Remember after Fukushima?
Yeah.
The earthquake, remember the big, all of a sudden the markets around the world were starting to crater because they thought Japan was in serious trouble.
Well, if Japan
crashed,
then
the government came in and gave themselves, basically printed money, and gave themselves, I forget how many billions it was.
So if the Federal Reserve raised interest rates, would this hurt them?
No, they would gain money. They would be able to get bills, it would help them.
So it would benefit them if the interest rates went up.
It benefits everybody. Now, it doesn't benefit growth. It doesn't benefit you or I. I mean, interest rates go up.
Because when the interest rate comes up, that's just the Fed's pulling the money back in, right? That's right?
Basically saying, hey, we were giving you guys
too much
money
out
free.
There.
Now we need to pay some bills. So
pay some bills. We need to put some of that money back in our coffers.
Chop, 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 chop. Give me money or I send Guido to chop your head off. Something like that.
I don't know. I'm just reading a little bit more of this story here, and that's pretty much it. I just thought it was interesting that Japan, this country, and we bombed these guys, two nuclear weapons, and here now they're the largest holder of our debt.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Insane.
Yeah.
So what do you got up next, man?
This, we've had a couple of theories on this, but this actually was in Wired Magazine, and my source from Blacklisted News.
Did you just load a website?
No, I did not.
Okay, I'm just trying.
All my websites are not moving.
I'm just trying to figure out where you were cutting in and out there. I'm just trying to figure out if it's me or you. But go ahead, continue.
Nope. In fact, all of them are in stop mode because they all crashed, and I'm not. I didn't even try to even reload any of them. Luckily, when they crashed, the stories are right where they were.
Nice.
So, hackers could commandeer new planes through passenger Wi-Fi.
What? Oh, shit.
I mean, let's think about it. Did we have a few planes go lost lately? I don't know. So, 7 years after the Federal Aviation Administration first warned Boeing that its new Dreamliner aircraft had a Wi-Fi design that made it vulnerable to hacking, a new government report suggests that the passenger jets might still be vulnerable. Boeing 787 Dreamliner jets, as well as the Airbus A350 and A380 aircraft, have Wi-Fi passenger networks that use the same network as the avionics systems of the planes, raising the possibility that a hacker could hijack the navigation system commandeering the plane through the in-plane network, according to U.S. Government Accountability Office.
So the Wi-Fi network is tied into the avionics system. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. Because that's how Boeing monitors. That's what we're saying. I live in Boeing country.
Right.
Boeing's, you know, that's where planes have made it, right here in the Northwest. Through all of America, throughout the world.
First, the hacker has to get by a firewall. Ooh.
Well, how tough is that in the air?
Right.
You know, it's not like there's a, not unless there's, you know, it's not like there's a defensive, what do they call them? A network security analyst on board a plane, you know, to prevent it from happening, right?
That's right.
So, a hacker would have to first bypass the firewall that separates the Wi-Fi system from the avionics system. But firewalls are not impenetrable, particularly if they are misconfigured. A better design, security experts have warned for years, is to air-gap critical systems from non-critical ones, that is, physically separating the network so that a hacker on the plane can't bridge from one to the other, nor can a remote hacker pass malware through the internet connection to the plane's avionics system. As the report notes, because the Wi-Fi systems in these planes connect to the world outside the plane, it opens the door for malicious actors to also remotely harm the plane's system.
It's an actor?
That's what I said. Let me reread it. If it opens the door for malicious actors...
Ooh, who's employing these actors?
I thought they're hackers. Why don't you just say they're hackers instead of actors?
Idiots.
A virus or malware planted in the websites visited by passengers could provide an opportunity for a malicious attack to access the IP. You know what? So next time when I'm on the Wi-Fi network of a plane, I'm going to a porn site. Woo! I'm going to get malware on this plane, damn it.
So I wonder how much damage a hacker could do. What can you control? I mean, do you have
obviously if the avionics system is connected with
isn't that more just for diagnostics and not necessarily – I mean, you can't take control of the airplane, can you?
I think you would. You could. Yeah.
Could you override the captain?
No, I don't. Well, you know what?
Could you dump fuel? And I mean,
you could dump fuel. You could probably do a lot of things.
That's scary.
Now, here's the trick, though. I guess if you're a suicide, you better be on suicide, because you're hacking from within inside the plane.
Well, it does say Boeing responded to the GAO report with a statement saying that a pilot manual override system will prevent someone from successfully commandeering its planes in this way.
Didn't provide that suicide guy from taking down that friggin' German Wings plane.
Right.
So, because the pilot was what? Outside the door. What happens if the guy could control the locks?
Exactly.
You know? Oh, we can't get inside. Uh-oh. I guess I'm screwed.
What if he, was able to, decompress the freaking pilot's area? Yeah?
I don't know. I have no clue. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it could decompress the pilot's area without decompressing the cabin.
Okay, so what if you just just decompress the cabin? Everybody go sleep, time, sleep.
Better have a gas mask on, or if he's not on the plane, then I don't know what the intention. I mean, you never know. I mean, you never know.
No, you never do know, man.
You never know. So there we go.
Oh, Lord. Hey, well, I got another one here. This is a pretty interesting one. NASA, never gives you a straight answer, released a first color image of Pluto. That's right, Rags. You know Pluto, the planet. I mean, that's right. It's not a planet anymore. It's just a big body of rock, I guess. NASA on Wednesday released the first color image of Pluto, and I've got it up on the video stream there. Really, it's just a couple dots. The first color image Pluto and its largest moon. So that's what it is. It's one of its moons. It was tamed by the New Horizons probe that should arrive at the dwarf planet. It's a dwarf planet now, Rags, on July 14th. I didn't even know they had a probe going to Pluto. Why they got a probe? Why are we spending these billions to go to these places? I just don't get it. Really, but why?
We need a space exploration for some.
I heard we could end world hunger with like $50 billion.
Well, shit, but Gates has got that in his back pocket.
Exactly, so why don't we fucking end it? That shit pisses me off. It's like,
because, Jay, there's people that are ruling this planet that have, who could give a shit.
Exactly, and we're sending these probes that cost hundreds of billions, and just one of these probes, you could freaking solve world hunger. Everyone could be able to eat.
You're right. Absolutely, you're right.
Another one of these probes, we could probably solve the cure for cancer.
Possibly.
God,
possibly. You know, and that's the thing is that, you know, but, you know, you still have to have a well-rounded, you know, the thing is we, you know, like we were talking last night, you know, we don't go to the moon anymore or do anything else, but.
Right.
But you got to remember, a lot of this now, it's all privately enterprise, all privately financed.
So you're telling me this was privately financed?
That one, no, but look at everything else that's happening now.
Well,
all the launches today are now privately financed.
Yep, you're right about that.
Every single one of them. We have no way of launching. We have no space operations.
You see where they tried to land that rocket again on the...
Yeah, they tried again, landed it on the...
Come down too
fast.
Isn't
it funny how it comes straight down and its engine's blasting, you know, standing straight up, and it gives a last-minute burst but then falls flat. I don't know really what the...
Is this feasible?
Is it really that much more of a cost?
Right, is it...
Has to land perfectly? Why
just
not just retrieve
drop
it out
in
the
ocean?
Yeah, just
let it fall
it.
In the ocean. Is it really going to...
And I don't know all the specifics. I don't know. Don't know all the specifics. Could
it
be
seems
something
like they're
to
destroying
it.
These things by trying to land them.
Yeah.
Let's try and land it on this mobile freaking...
platform or
whatever they called it. I don't know what they called it. They have a special name for it. Well, we got a few, got 5 minutes left, Rags. So what you got?
Well, you know, Jay, I always got this for everybody. Another Hillary Clinton update.
Oh, yeah? What's he doing?
Well, you know, Hillary Clinton. We gotta get a name. We need to get a line. We need a theme. You know, somebody says, you know, some type of soundbite we can get. Not that kind of a sound, you know, but one with her saying something. We need to get, like, something that we can record.
Oh, yeah, something that she says. And what difference does it make?
Yeah,
that's the one we need.
Well, here's our, yeah, exactly. We could play that every time. And
I think that's her calling right now, Rex. Oh, no, go ahead. What's the update?
So get this. Hillary Clinton makes up an immigrant family to appeal to immigrants.
What?
She is throwing out all the buzz here, man. I'm not kidding. You want to talk about how desperate this woman is. Let's see. Speaking in Iowa on Wednesday, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said that all her grandparents had immigrated to the United States, a story that conflicts with public census and other records related to her maternal and paternal grandparents. I love it. Dude, this gal is
forgets, Rags, that this ain't the 90s anymore. This is 2015.
Yeah, this wasn't the payoff Clintons of the 90s. You can't do it anymore.
It's not only it's the technology is so much different now.
Oh,
it's so much
God.
Easier for someone to go look up
Find
your records.
I know.
Your information's everywhere now. You can't hide.
The story of her grandmother specifically immigrating is one Clinton has told before. Clinton's sole foreign-born grandparent, Hugh Rodham Sr., immigrated as a child. Her grandparents always spoke about the immigrant experience. As a result, she's always thought of them as immigrants, a Clinton spokeswoman told a BuzzFeed News feed. As it has been correctly pointed out, while her grandfather was an immigrant, it appears that Hillary's grandmother was born shortly after her parents and siblings arrived in the U.S. in the early 1880s. And, of course, she says, all my grandparents, you know, came over here, and, you know, my grandfather went to work in a lace mill in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and he worked there until he retired at 65. He started there when he was just a teenager, just kept going, Clinton said.
Sure he did.
Yeah, yeah. As we keep on making up. So, again, I just love, and if you look down, look at the things down there, Jay. I mean, even look at the thing that they got. I look how fast Buzz News Feed, if you scroll down in that article.
You know these things have been waiting. They probably got
look at the census. They even
archive.
Got the recorded, look at the archive of the census from 1910. They got for Hugh Rodham Sr.
Wow.
Look at that.
This has all been ready. They prepared.
Oh, yeah. But, well, because, see, that's what I'm saying. She's the only Democrat running so far. So you know how many people are going to tear her up, down, left, and right?
Holy, I don't know. I don't know if another Democrat's going to jump, Ben.
Oh, trust me, dude. Trust me. That's not even a trust, Jay. That's even a ridiculous thought. Just watch.
Well, I mean, we elect a new president next year, right?
In November of 2016. So we're still a year and a half away.
Okay.
We're a long ways. When's
the average time that a candidate jumps in? Is it a
and there's
year?
Never, here's the thing. There has never been just one candidate ever in an election, in an open, free election.
What about last election? Barack Obama didn't
He was an incumbent. He was an incumbent president.
Okay.
There's a difference. I'm saying when there is a president that is up.
Gotcha.
There has never been just one person running from one party. You will have at least a minimum of five in each party. Minimum. I believe the Republicans trotted out 13. Democrats trotted out 10 in the 2008 election, something like that.
Okay.
So you'll see.
Well, it's going to be soon. I mean, we're going to start hearing names soon, right? You think?
No. Remember on that? Oh yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, things don't start really heating up until October, November this year. Then, of course, when things heat up, it's always the Iowa and New Hampshire primaries, which are in January. That's when the real race will, you know, in about 10 months from now, that's when we'll start to get a picture of see what's going. But that doesn't mean anything either. I don't think the picture really gets set until about June of next year, where you can get a clear picture of who the top two candidates will be. Who you figure that both either the Republican convention or the Democratic convention.
What do you think about on the Democratic side?
I don't know yet. There's nobody there yet for me to even look at.
Well,
I mean,
the rumor.
Oh, there's maybe, you know, Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts. She might be. You never know. She's an up and comer. She hasn't declared. She hasn't said anything yet, but she is a very big up and comer. So that may be one. I would imagine that, I just don't know yet. Just haven't got a feel for who out there. And I forgot who ran before. So anyone, the ones that ran in 2008, guarantee you they're running in 2012. Hell, even Huckabee says he's going to run.
Oh, God.
And another Republican, you know, it's like, oh, my God. I know. That's what I'm saying. It's just, it's kind of baffling. So,
well, you know, there was a rumor there for a while that Mitt Romney was going to run again. He was going to try again, but thankfully they said we're not going to back
again because the reason why he's damaging the party because he's out of Massachusetts and nobody likes Massachusetts. Massachusetts is liberal,
right?
How can you be a Republican and actually live in Massachusetts? It makes no sense from a political standpoint.
You think John Kerry will go?
No, Kerry's done. He's Secretary of State.
Well, I know, but I mean, he's going to be not Secretary of State.
Nope.
He could still run, right?
Guarantee it's going to be somebody young. Just telling you right now. I'm going to tell you right now, Jay. Mark my
words. Is it going to be somebody we're not even thinking about right now?
No, I don't know. I'm just telling you right now. Whoever it is will be under the age of 55.
Okay.
Because right now we're as a country, we like a young, fresh face, or at least a younger looking face. Hillary's hideous. My God, she makes me gag.
Yeah, she is. Some of her photos are just horrible.
Even on Democratic side or Republican side, I mean, even McCain when he was running, I mean, if he didn't have friggin', you know, the MILF running with him, nobody would even blink. You know,
but what they should have done, they should have let Palin run.
No, that's what I'm saying. If Palin was on
you
her
think,
own ticket.
You think if she had been, if it was vice versa?
I don't think so. She just didn't carry enough.
Well, you know, she could see Russia from her house.
you know, some people can. I mean, I can see my next door neighbor from my house.
Yeah.
That's the same. Yeah. You know, there's my neighbor. I can see his house.
Right. You know? I don't know. I think that was, like I said, I've talked about it before. I think it was all set up. That was set up to fail. They didn't. This was all for Barack Obama. It was, quote, his time. And yeah, I think this is all set up. You know, I think I still got my feeling that Hillary's going to be the Democrat nominee, man.
How many times? See, that's why the reason why I've been trying to explain that to you.
I know you've been trying to tell me, man, and I just
because I've been. That's why I'm reading these stories to you every night because these stories they're already seeding into the American people. The social engineering has begun. Listen, did you listen to that last Fox News report? She met with. Did you hear how they said? Oh, they met with a half a dozen business leaders. What's half of a dozen, Jay?
Six.
Look at the picture in my last one there. She met with four people sitting there. There's six people in the cafe. Does that sound like somebody that's really garnering the interest of Iowans?
She doesn't need to, though.
Yes, she does. See, that's the whole problem you're missing is that you don't understand is that there's got to be people rallying around her, and they're not. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I think it's going
to
pick up, though. I think it's
It's not even going to come close to picking up. She is going to go, and she's going to go until I'm guaranteeing you January or February next year, both either if she loses both Iowa and New Hampshire, just like any other candidate, and she loses big, she's done. She will withdraw, just like all the other candidates do. You got to remember, they don't stay in until the end. You have to get so many percentage points, whether you took first, second, or third in New Hampshire or Iowa. If you do not, you're done. Take a back seat, unless you got a huge amount of money. But even if you have a huge amount of money and you took last, the party's going to say, no, you already lost here, you lost here, we're not going to back you.
Right.
You're not going to have the amount of people when we go to convention. See, that's what I'm trying to tell you is that you keep looking from a media aspect. I'm talking about the party. And you got to remember, when you're at a Democratic or Republican convention, it's the congressional people there that vote on it. And she's not going to have enough votes. Even if it was held today, she wouldn't have enough votes for them from the Democratic people in that congregation to nominate her.
If the votes
so
matter.
it's almost like how we vote for the president, right?
Right.
It's the same thing with the. Oh, why am I drawing a blank?
They could all be rigged.
What do we call that again?
Electoral votes.
The electoral. So the electoral vote. But there's something else. What is it that we use? It's
popular vote?
No, not the electoral vote. God, why am I drawing a blank? You know what? When you win the popular vote in the state, you get a
majority?
Oh, God. I forget. What the hell? Why am I drawing a blank?
Forget about it.
Anyway, so it's the same thing there. It's just like any other Democratic. You're just used to the Democratic convention in what you've seen in 2008.
No, that's
right?
Not what I'm. My reasoning is this is all set up. My reason is more conspiracy reason as far as this. It's all been set up.
Oh, dude,
been arranged.
But see, the thing is, it's not even a conspiracy anymore because anybody conspiracy in the world knows how social engineering works. Social engineering, I mean, every CT site already now knows she's dead weight. The thing is if you're smart and if you understand it, the social engineering of the powers that be are telling you she sucks. Look what we're doing to her in the media. We're killing her. We're doing this stuff.
Unless
the thing
two
is,
battles we've had going on. I mean, you know, there's always been the saying that there's, you know, you've got the good and you've got the bad side of the New World Order. And there could be battling sides. One side doesn't want her to be and one side does. So who knows? I don't know, man.
I doubt it. I'm going to mark my words.
Why would she even be in the race?
Because she's got money. That's all.
But if she knows that she's not going to be the nominee, why even be there? Just for show?
All for show. Everything's for show. Everything's for social engineering. Everything is a show, Jay. Everything's a show. The world's a stage.
The world is a stage, man.
It's all for show. Like I said, she's not. And like I said, here's the one thing about it. She's taken too many lumps too early, and she's not going to be the only one running. Never has been. Never in a election has there just been one Democrat person run in an open free election? Never, not even close.
Right.
Never, ever. There'll be 5 to 10 more nominees or people that are going to declare to run.
I can't wait to see who they're going to be. It'd be interesting who's going to take on Hillary. It'd be interesting who's going to take the step up.
You're going to find out. It's, like I said, I know, I'm pretty sure Warren will jump in. I'm almost positive of it because they're going to need a woman. They'll need another strong woman presence, I believe, because that represents the Democratic Party. And there could be, I want to say I'm missing somebody. I know there's some young congressman that I'm missing that's a Democrat. Who am I missing?
Not sure.
I can't remember.
Not sure. Well, folks, hey, we ran over a little bit tonight discussing this this thing here, and we're gonna continue this topic. As we get closer and closer to the election, and
I'll bring up every night all the things that they're doing in the media. This is the mainstream media that is slaughtering her, but she's slaughtering herself, telling lies about her immigrant families.
Yeah, why? I mean, doesn't that?
You see what I'm
saying?
Doesn't
that strike you as odd? Doesn't that
not
strike...
talking to anybody in Chipotle? Oh, by the way, the latest headline right here—it's on Drudge too. She didn't even leave a tip.
Yeah, I know. I seen that. I seen that one.
So, Jay, this stuff, when you're the only one running, is going to stick in the minds of voters. That's how it works. When you get massaged by this much bad press over the last,
it could backfire and look like they're attacking her. I don't know.
Liberal press, hello, it's not Fox News.
No, you're right. They're definitely giving it to her.
Everything I've quoted you has been at a liberal website.
But maybe they're getting it all out quickly, getting all the bad shit out first. I don't know.
Every Democrat has distanced themselves from her and Barack Obama. There is no way. Like I said, it'll be a Republican landslide victory come 2016.
Let's hope.
Well, and I mean, I'm not saying that's good either.
No, not really. It's the same old.
Same old shit, man. That's why you hear that commercial that we play every time.
Yep.
Battered voter stridum.
Yep.
Because you keep voting for the same shit, expecting a different result. So, yep. And you're not. Because you're voting for the same shit every time.
There's nothing we can, I say, what can we do? People say, well, vote. Well, we do.
Are you going to be able to edit this for the hour?
No, we'll go over. Oh, who cares? We can do that. This is our network. We can go over if we want.
Well, you never know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be an interesting year. And then
hey, let's get to September of this year, and then we'll worry about the rest. I got some unfeeling easy things that I feel are coming up.
Yeah.
Seriously, I got them just some weird stuff. Weird stuff with all the Walmarts.
Yeah, I know.
Information today. And even, because my brother's a building inspector for a big city here in the area. So, things like you cannot do the things that they're doing without a building permit.
Right.
And if they have not got one, you have ABC Tampa and you have the Fox affiliate in Tampa investigating. Each station in Branton, Florida, have gotten talked to the city, and the city has then not talked to yet about anything to do with Walmart.
DHS just ordered 12 million rounds. Something's going on. I don't know what it is.
Something is a little bit too fishy, which is really weird because you just don't shut down complete stores like that. It makes no sense. And to use plumbing, because there's nobody. I mean, if you built a house, well, there's at least 100 million people in this country that built a house. You got to have a septic design, and it's got to be approved by the goddamn building inspector.
Yeah, and how many was it? Six.
Yeah, six stores.
That's odd. Six stores
closed for plumbing. All of them. And in different states, and they're all closed for plumbing.
That's weird.
And now we've already checked with the city officials in Branton, in Florida, and they said they know nothing about it. Because they even said, yeah, they better come talk to us. And even the city government wants to get involved because they don't want these people out of work.
So you're telling me that these places just close all of a sudden?
Yes.
Doors locked.
All
employees have no idea.
No idea. On Monday.
That is freaky.
This is major news around the country. Now, it's not. Now, the local news channels, mainstream news, meaning your ABC or CBS or Fox or Philadelphia or whatever, they have been covering it. Now, it hasn't got up to the national stage yet, from what I've seen, but it is creeping up there. Because it is the truth. You can't just change your plumbing without going to a city. It's illegal. You can't do that. Yeah, I mean, not only is it illegal, the city wants the money and the revenue for it.
Not only that, it's just odd to have six different stores in different states and not tell your employees.
Seems to be all the states where they're doing Operation Jade Helm. Hmm.
Really?
Hmm.
I think that's very interesting. We're going to discuss that tomorrow on tomorrow's show.
I've been putting things together for Jade Helm.
Good. Well, we're going to definitely talk about Jade tomorrow, the operation. I'm sure, folks, you're familiar with it, especially if you're in the CT world, and you definitely know what we're talking about. You know, they've got these drills going around all over the United States right now, and the military drills, and, you know, this Walmart probably is associated with it. Who knows? But we're definitely going to get to it, folks, tomorrow. I want to, again, thank you for listening. We went over a little bit tonight. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.disclosuremedia.net. Also, follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at Disclosure Media. Again, folks, thanks again for listening. Have a great night, and we'll see you tomorrow.
See ya!